You'll turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7 to give good morning to you. We're continuing our study talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, promises of God, and eventually get into more about Him and His life and His death, burial, resurrection, those things. We've been looking at Genesis 3:15. We'll go back over in just a minute, but we want to start in Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 starts out with God's message to Ahaz, and he gets down to verse 10 and talks about the sign from God about Jesus, the coming Savior. He says in verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it neither in depth nor in the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. I'm not going to question you, Lord. If you don't tell me, you tell me, but I'm not going to question. We should not tempt or question the Lord thy God, should we? He said, but Ahaz, I will not ask. I'm sorry, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? You're not going to bother the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord. God will ask you as he chooses. You're not going to ever weary the Lord, okay? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey he shall eat, that you may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou hoardest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And then he gets into the coming destruction that's coming, and but we want to focus our attention this morning mostly on verse 14. If you will, go back to Genesis 3, verse 15. Brother Hammond always called this the first gospel of the Bible because it actually is. After the fall of man, after the temptation of Eden, Adam and Eve have been fruit and caused death to come upon all human beings. The Lord said, I will put enmity between thee, speaking to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that is hate. Enmity means hatred. There'll be a hatred between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we see the promise of the Savior right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, coming to bruise the head of the serpent, but moreover, put a hate between Cain and Seth, seeds. Mary came through the seed of Seth, so did Joseph, but they split off from David, as you see in your chart that I gave you. And Mary came through the David's whole, Abraham, all of them, through that whole lineage, is where Mary came through. And Jesus Christ's birth is through Mary, the seed. He is the seed of the woman. And the Lord promises here in verse 14, he says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, that's Mary, shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. So God's promised victorious seed is going to come through a woman without a human father, just a seed that will be planted from the Lord himself into the woman Mary, causing that woman to be with child. And so God's promise was that the seed of the woman, it says her seed shall bruise thy head. I believe that there's no doubt the seed of the woman is the seed of Mary. Mary was a virgin, and therefore Jesus Christ, when he was born, was literally the seed of the woman. He had no human father. He comes from no seed of the man, He only has the seed of the woman in his humanity, doesn't he? And he goes on, therefore Joseph never was a part of Jesus except he and Mary got married and had other children after Jesus was born. If you will, go to Luke chapter 1. I've used this scripture before because I love this scripture. And we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, speaking about Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's who he shall be called, because that's who he's going to be, isn't he? He's going to be the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man, but he is the Son of the living God. He is God's own Son. And therefore we see an incarnation for the first time of deity and humanity coming together in one human being. Jesus Christ was a boy. He was born a baby. He was born of being natural, and that's what we'll probably get into next week, talking about his natural state. And he was born a baby. And what happens to babies? Well, they learn, don't they? And they grow. And they learn, and they grow, and they learn, and they grow. Next thing you know, they're eating out of the house and home. But this was an unusual baby. This was different. This baby never cried. Babies cry because they're lying. They cry because they think they need something they don't need. Sometimes they need things and they cry, but most times they just cry to cry, don't they? Jesus never got in any trouble. He never did anything wrong. He was superhuman. Because he wasn't just the Son of Mary, he was also the Son of the living God. The word overshadow, when it says, the Holy Spirit says to her, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. It means to cast a shadow upon, figuratively, to invest with prenatural influence. Well, it was prenatural influence, wasn't it? And the reason it was is because God had put a seed in Mary to cause her to become pregnant with a child. She never knew a man. I'm not going to get into things I don't know. There's a lot of people that get into a lot of things they don't know. And we don't know how old Mary was. But a lot of people think she was 14, 15, 16. We don't know. She could have been 20, 25. We don't know. But this we do know, at the time that God planted the seed, his seed in Mary's womb to cause her to be a child, she was a virgin. She did not die a virgin. So the old Virgin Mary that these Catholics worship doesn't exist. It's a myth. She's a virgin, and then she had Jesus, then her and Joseph got married, then they had other children. Jesus had brothers and sisters on their mother's side. But it's prenatural influence that God put upon her, just like grace to us. What is grace? Grace is God influencing us in salvation. It's God influencing us. The Holy Spirit comes into us, and he quickens our spirits and shows us that we're lost, that we need a Savior, and supplies all the things we need. Become the Lord Jesus Christ. He was indeed God-man. God-man. He was not the seed of human man. He was not the seed of Joseph. But he was the seed of Mary. Now, why does that matter? Well, first of all, it matters because he's the Son of God. Secondly, it matters that sin comes through the man. Yes, gentlemen, we are responsible for children being born as sinners. Man is responsible for sin altogether. It is Adam that caused sin to flow down through the humanity of people and caused us to be sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We're sinners because Adam sinned. We were conceived in iniquity. We were born sinners. We come from our mother's womb crying and speaking lies, didn't we? And we've been sinners ever since. And we are no better today. The only good in us as Christians is Jesus Christ. The only good in us is what God does. Let's not give ourselves too much credit here. We are what we are by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all walk right back into Satan's hands and start sinning again. We're going to talk about some of this later. Our point here is to show that Jesus Christ was born to or of no man. He was born of the seed of God. Whatever the power of God was, it called her to be with a child. I say God put a seed there because I think it takes a seed for her to get pregnant. But whatever power it was certainly put in her by God, wasn't it? To cause her to be pregnant, wasn't it? Because this was a child of the living God. God incarnate, God embodied in man. When we look at Jesus Christ, we must look at two different natures, mustn't we? Who's sitting on the right hand of God on the throne? Jesus is, isn't he? The Son of Man. He has a body. He sits on the throne. The body that came up out of the grave is the one that sits on the right hand of God. He's the Son of Man. He did things that God cannot do. God can't be born. Man was. God can't cry. Jesus did. Man, God cannot hunger. Jesus did. And God cannot die. Jesus did. People can argue that all they want to with me. Go to Exodus chapter 10. Back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the word sign here means a signal or a beacon of evidence which was in the form of a miracle. Signs were often various kinds. God used them a lot, didn't he? Go look at a few of them. But God said, you'll get a sign, a miracle coming. A virgin shall be with a child. How many times does that happen? A virgin without a seed of a man is going to be with a child. That's your sign. God told Ahaz, that's your sign. And the Jews just completely missed it. People just simply missed it. Jesus walked on this earth as the Son of God / Son of Man. and did many miracles, which were signs, to show whom he was. And people would follow him around to see him do these miracles. And they still called him the devil. They still hated him. And eventually they crucified him. Because they didn't know. God said if they had known, they would not have crucified him. But it was the ordained will of God that they crucify him. The very nation that God elected to be his nation crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't know. I mean, we live in the 21st century and it'd still be shocking. With all the gadgets and all the things and all the brain we have today, if we still see these miracles happen. Oh, you hear about them on TV with all these preachers that are fake and phony doing their fake and phony healing. But Jesus wasn't fake. He wasn't phony. He actually did these things. He actually did raise the dead. He actually did many wonders and signs to prove who he was. And they're without excuse. Remember in Romans 1 when the Lord says people can look into the heavens and they can see the glory of God? And that makes them without excuse if they do not believe in God. People are without excuse if they do not believe in Jesus. Exodus chapter 10, the Lord shows a sign who he was. He says in verse 2, and that you mayest tell in the ears of thy son and the fan and thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my sign will I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord. Well, the Lord did many wonderful signs, didn't he? Pharaoh called in his magicians to try to tell him, explain to him how Moses and Aaron were doing these things. We don't know. Naturally, they didn't know. How could they have known? Because they weren't tricks. It wasn't magic. Did Pharaoh believe? No, he did not. Neither did others believe. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 20, and verse 8. 2 Kings, chapter 20. And we'll see these signs contain miracles. He said, in Hezekiah, verse 8, he said, and Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord shall heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, the sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the things that he has spoken, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees and go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered and said, a light thing for the shadow to go 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah, the prophet, cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which he had done down in the dial of Ahaz. A miracle. Something impossible, God did, didn't he? God's always doing miracles. Making the blind to see. Making the deaf hear. Making those that cannot speak, speak. Healing leprosy. Saving sinners is a miracle. Raising the dead is a miracle. And bringing a child from a virgin is a miracle. That's the way God proves who He is and what He's doing. People don't pay attention. People don't listen to God. People don't hear God. You're in 2 Kings chapter 20. Go back one chapter to chapter 19. And verse 29. It says, "And there shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which sprang up of the same, and the third year ye sow and reap and plant the vineyards and eat the fruits thereof." Again, sign. That's a sign, the Lord says. Now, I've got to hurry, so let's go on down to Matthew chapter 1. God promised over here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the Lord shall give a sign, a miracle. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." A virgin. A woman who had never been with a man. Joseph didn't know this, did he? Others didn't know this, did they? Joseph came to know it, didn't he? How did he come to know it? Let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Through 25. "And now the birth of Jesus Christ was unwise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost." Not of Joseph, but of the Holy Ghost. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," and he was a just man, wasn't he? Why? Because he's not willing to put her away, make her a public example. You know, today it's not an unusual thing, is it, for a woman that's unwedded or engaged to become pregnant with another man's child? That's pretty much the way of the world today, isn't it? I mean, it's common, isn't it? I mean, women being whores don't matter anymore. You can be whatever you want to. You can be a man that tries to be a woman. You can be a woman that tries to be a man. You can have as many babies you want and have as many baby daddies as you want, and it's just okay. But not here. It didn't used to be okay, did it? I remember when it wasn't okay. I remember back in the day, in my lifetime, I'm only 65, and I can remember back in my lifetime when a woman done these things was called a whore. Slut. But in our time of day, it's normal, isn't it? Not in their time, not biblical time, not in the New Testament time. So Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Don't worry about it, Joseph. You go ahead and you marry this woman, because she is highly blessed of the Lord. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She hasn't been with another man. She's not a slut. She's a very honored woman. She's a good woman because the Lord made her a good woman. She is a chosen vessel of the Lord. What for? To bring the Son of God / Son of Man into this world. Mary had to be the most blessed woman on the face of this earth of all women. I'm blessed that the Lord chose to save me. I'm blessed that the Lord made me a member of His church. I'm blessed to have been able to pastor the Lord's church and feed the sheep. I'm blessed, and more blessed. But Mary was so blessed, God chose her to bring Jesus into this world. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord to the prophet, or speaking of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that beautiful? You know, in the past, in the Old Testament, God came many times to visit with people. He spoke to, now God is not a man, okay? Jesus was a man, one place at one time. You could actually stand before him and speak to him. In fact, John said in 1 John, hey, we were able to touch him. You cannot touch God, he's a spirit. Right? I mean, he came to Moses and burnt the entire top of the mountain. He's like a burning fire speaking to Moses. He was like in a burning bush one time speaking to Moses. But God actually spoke to people, didn't he? John said in 1 John chapter 1, hey, I was with the Lord. I heard him through my ear. Not through my spirit, through my ear. I spoke to him. I touched him. I was with him. I learned from him. And I'm going to tell you what he told me, John said in 1 John 1. Why was he so happy? Because Jesus is God. How would you like to stand in a church building and Jesus stand in a pulpit and teach you? We actually stood on the mountain one time and taught the first church. As we called them out and gathered them together, assembled them together. I'm gonna back up just a little bit. The Holy Virgin shall be with the child, and shall bring forth a son, that shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted God with us. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid them. You know, I have a lot of dreams. In fact, I dream a lot of being at work. I was dreaming last night. I dream almost every night anymore. It's hard to sleep sometimes. But they're not like this dream. The Lord doesn't come to me in a dream and tell me what's about to happen. I wish he did. That way I could wake up and know what today's going to be. But he did with Joseph, didn't he? You know what? Joseph didn't slap himself or throw some cold water in his face and say, wow, what a dream that was. No, he didn't, did he? Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel had, Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Emmanuel. Here, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman prophesied hundreds of thousands of years earlier. We see it fulfillment, don't we? Not the seed of man. He had no earthly father. He was simply the seed of the woman. Jesus was not Joseph's seed, it was Mary's seed. If you want to, go back to Isaiah 7 while I go through my last point. I knew where I got through that first one, I wouldn't have much time for a second one. I got 10 minutes. In verse 14, he said, goes on to say, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We see this also in Matthew, don't we? Because they're quoting what Isaiah wrote there. Emmanuel means God with us. That's what the Bible said, wasn't it? Or in proper Greek, it means with us is God. With us is God, or God with us. Jesus had many names, didn't he? Just as God has many names. And every name has a valuable meaning. Jesus means Savior, doesn't it? Emmanuel means God with us. Wonderful Counselor. We're going to get into them in just a minute. In fact, we're going there now. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. But every meaning Jesus had, every name he had meaning. Here the meaning is the man-child is God incarnate, or God embodied and Son of Mary. The Son of God and the Son of Mary. The Son of God and the Son of natural flesh. Lord doesn't call him flesh, he calls him like unto flesh. Jesus had no sin. He knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. The only human never to have sinned. You say, well, he was God. He was also man. We're going to get into that next morning, next week. With my butter and honey and all that. We're going to explain his human side. We're going to look a little bit probably at his temptation. Not just God, he was also man.
tempted as like we are,
yet not a sinner. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, here's some important facts to us. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. Now, there's a comma there, and Brother Hammond always used to say, Wonderful Counselor goes together, I don't know. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Yes, he will sit there, won't he? He will, I promise you. He will one day sit on the throne of his father David, his human father, through Mary. He's not only going to sit on God's right hand, he's going to sit on David's throne in Israel, and he's going to rule this world 1,000 years. And upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, then and forever. The zeal of the Lord of the host will perform this. What happened? Now, real quickly, we're going to go through several scriptures while I finish this. The verse is going to be in Colossians, and then 1 Timothy, and then John, then Luke. So let's start with Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Talking about Jesus, here it says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fullness. Not partial, not some, but the fullness. Jesus said later, if you see the Father, see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one. That's why they crucified him, wasn't it? In 1 Timothy, verse 3, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Well, that's a lot, isn't it? That's about an entire message or two right there. Point and point and point. Wonderful miracle to God. Everything about Jesus was a miracle. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. Speaking of the Word, the Word was with God. Verse 1, the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus being the Word. In verse 14 it says, And Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the only glory of the only glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All that's an explanation except for full of grace and truth. That other, and we shall behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, is describing what happened in the first part of verse 14 there. That's an explanation of what he just said. Now go to Luke chapter 19. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, what's he going to do? He's going to crush the head of the snake. Verse 9, it says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to his throne, for as much as you also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, crushed. Crushed is the head of the serpent. Because Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to this world, gave his life, shed his blood, and because of that, we have victory in Jesus. Crushed the head of the serpent. Oh, he's still got the world. He's still got people in the world. The vast, triple vast, ultimate vast majority of the world is still his. But I'm not. I do not belong to Satan. I belong unto the Lord my God. I belong to him because Jesus Christ saved me. And so are you. You're no longer under the power of Satan. You're only under the power of Satan if you want to be. If you surrender yourself to the power of Satan, as a lot of Christians do. Lost people cannot overcome. We can. We have the victory. We are the victory. We are the prime evidence that the head of the serpent has been crushed. And it will be crushed more. Until he's put in the hottest part of hell, where the Antichrist and the false prophet will be waiting on him after he's loosened, after 1,000 years being bound, and he deceives the nation again, and God kills everybody. Tired of people saying, God won't do this, God won't do that. God's going to destroy the people in this world again. And then he's going to destroy the world with fervent fire, and he's going to melt it. Along with the heavens, make sure that sin is gone. And Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet are sealed in the center of the earth in the hell, pits of hell, where they shall never, ever, ever, ever show their face again. Victory is Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman. Victory from sin. Our victory from sin. And Satan's power is demolished, destroyed. Because we have victory from it too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for me. And all you've done for my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We may not be perfect. We may not be what we should be. We may fall down sometimes, but the Lord will bring us back up. Because we have victory over sin. We have victory over the power of Satan. Satan no longer has a hold on us because we have been rescued. I hope all out there have been to hear this message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our victory. Victory in Jesus. We should shout it from the highest hills of this earth. Let's all stand. Justice will come. Lead us in number 341.